Brother Barton Brown, do you have a prayer for that one that's come before us?
They tell me that if you enjoy being somewhere, you should go back when you can. I thoroughly enjoyed being here yesterday and wanted to stay, but I was afraid I wouldn't be able to make the meeting in Richmond at 2 o'clock this evening. I looked at the map and I did the GPS thing and I just decided we'll go for it. And it's always good to be in a house for the Lord.
Yeah.
The text that was quoted yesterday in Isaiah 55, it said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." We speak oftentimes of the ones that are the Lord's people. We oftentimes try to figure out who they are and how do you know who they are. And I know the world, worldly churches or whatever, probably get in trouble for that. They seem to think that it's an open invitation to everyone that breathes. This text proves that not to be so. Everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. I don't believe there's ever been a spiritual thirst, except it came from God. I don't believe that man could manufacture a spiritual thirst if his life depended on it. We're told in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest." He's going to raise us up. And that's in John 6. It said, "No man could come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So we have here in two or three different scriptures, Old and New Testament, which I oftentimes like to do, Old and New, there's nothing new. The New Testament goes right along. Without the Old, where is your lawmaster to bring you to Christ?
Right.
So it is necessary. I'm told that you just take this book and the Old Testament and just throw it away, but you can't do that. I was brought a book this morning from my daughter by my wife, and I was told, my wife was told, "Dad's got to have one of them." And I'm thinking, well, what is it? I looked at it and I never heard the name of life. She says, "Well, you always talk about that." I said, no. The printer is the same, but the person is not. And the scripture text is not the Old King James. So I told her, I said, "Take it back. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want to read it. Don't want it in the house." We know that the very best we got is right here. We know that they were inspired of God. So when we read the text, it's come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, it's obvious that there is a labor there, there is a want there is a desire there. This is not thrown out to the universe. It's thrown out to the universe of God's people, if you will, but not to everybody at large. You might say, well, that makes God an electing God. Yeah. Really? And again, he hadn't changed. Old Testament. He chose Israel over every nation under the sun. He elected them, and nobody complains too much about it. I've never heard it. But he elected them, and he told them to go destroy everything that breathed. And for by and large, nobody complains about it. But yet they don't think my God can elect a people. They don't think that he can love a people. But I say to you this morning that he loves you with an everlasting love. He said his electing love upon you, if you will. And when it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that means that the Spirit of God has moved within you and caused you to want to come. We're always told that if I believed what you did, I would believe that God would grab you by the back of your neck and bring you up front. It might come as a shock. I drove hundreds of miles with clothes in the back of my vehicle with the express intention of joining a church. When I was at that church, I had no thought whatsoever of joining a church. But when I did, I was sitting in a congregation. They were singing, thy blood can cleanse the foulest stain and can't avail for me. The question is, can it avail for me? I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet we know that we must know that we are sinners. We must know that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God in order to be a child of God, in order to be worked upon by the Spirit, if you will. You think you're not a sinner? I want you to know when the Spirit of my God gets a hold of you, you'll know it right quick. Yeah. Or quicker. I can't do it any quicker. You've got to labor. And you've got to be heavy laden. Yeah. Oh, my soul, I remember that labor. I remember that going from everything's okay to this world is no good. I'm a hell-deserving sinner. I'm afraid to live and I'm afraid to die. I remember being there. But yet I also remember that peace and joy and tranquility, when peace like a river came. I said, it's well with my soul because my God has shed His love upon me. You're thirsty, you'll come. If you're heavy laden, you'll come. Somewhere between, used to say, the cradle and the grave is going back. Somewhere between conception and the grave, God will manifest Himself to you. And you say, why would you go there? Well, simply because John leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Yeah. Simply because Jeremiah was ordained a prophet before he was ever born. Simply because God told Rebekah, I think it was, there's two nations in thy womb. God knows what they're going to do. You don't have to be born. Matter of fact, you don't have to be, you know, alive and well and functioning mentally for God to come to you. You can be laying over there, comatose. It don't stop my God. I want you to know today, I believe in a God that has absolute power over everything in the universe. Amen. Nothing can stay His hand. No one can ask Him, what doest thou? He's God. And besides Him, there is none other. I don't have a lot of patience for those that talk about this God, that God, the other God. I certainly don't have any patience for those that talk about the one they worship, and he's still down there. If he's still in the grave, what hope is it for you and I? Might as well stay home. I start to say go golfing, but I'm not good at it, and it's too hot. Go fishing, do whatever. But I want you to know that our God is in control. And it, again, as he said in John, no one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Where does that leave the worldly people? I know I'm going to heaven, and I don't have cable. I cut the cord a long time ago. You see enough that you don't want to see without cable. I've got a $4 antenna hanger behind the TV. But they'll tell you that all this, every time somebody dies, they're up in heaven looking down. It might have been the sorriest person to ever walk the face of the earth. I don't think so. And you might say, well, you're not supposed to be judgmental. I'm supposed to be a fruit inspector. He says, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, I know that God can change one in the last instance. I believe that. But I do not believe that everybody that's ever gone and died is up looking down. Matter of fact, I don't believe anybody is. They got a whole lot more things much more pleasant to behold than us. I mean, think about it. If you were to leave this low ground of sin and sorrow, and if you had the ability to see, would you be looking here? I'll be looking at my master. I personally don't think they're looking, any of them, but that's another story. But I do know that God has to draw us. And I do know, as the oft-time quote, that if he begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about, well, he brought me here, he set me here and established me, and now it's all over. I'm left to my own devices. No, if you were, you'd die and go straight to hell. Without question. But if he begin that good work, he'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's one of the first things that my uncle told me after I was brought out of nature's darkness. I was visiting in the home with my dad, and Uncle Leonard was there. And I told him the doubts and fears that this poor sinful boy had. You know, how sin came short of his glory, and I just don't know. Uncle Leonard said, be confident of this very thing, that he's begun a good work in you. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This was decades ago, but still lodged in here. And it's true. All those that are brought out of nature's darkness, none of them walk perfect. None of us are righteous in ourselves. But we all are perfect and righteous and pure as the driven snow in the eyes of God, because he looks through the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Fret not because you feel sinful. Fret not because a thought comes through your head that you don't want to be there. I'm not saying enjoy it, but I'm saying it will not send you to eternal doom. It'll send you to your knees. He'll send you to your knees and you'll cry out to God, oh, deliver me from these thoughts. I think Brother Bill Stevens says that, I think it was his father, says, you can't stop the bird from landing on your head or whatever, but you can stop him from building a nest. Yeah. Words to that effect. What I do when a thought comes to me, I just shake my head violently to get it out. You know, go away, go away. I want to think about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who paid such an awesome price that that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to know today, and I believe this with every ounce of my being, the bigger sinner you see yourself to be, the more you will love the Son of God. There's no question about it. Scripture says, what think ye of Christ, whose son is he? It also is in there talking about the fact that if you love him, if you believe he is the Son of Man, if you believe he is the Son of God, and if you love him with all your being, you will love him more. And you will if you sin and come short of his glory and you realize it. I've heard people say, I don't sin anymore. I don't either. But I don't sin any less either. Someone to say they don't sin. They don't know my God. They don't know their self. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. That's why this little band that's gathered here today has such love and compassion and fellowship one for the other. We understand that we were all sinners, but yet we understand that God has paid the price through sending Jesus Christ. We recognize that we were thirsty. And it said, come you buy wine and milk without money and without price. The cost was paid by Jesus Christ. There's no cost to me. Cost was paid for my sweet Lord. It's hard to meditate upon the misery, the pain, and the agony, and the suffering that my Lord endured without the tears falling down. When I think that he told me, come you by without money and without price. And it goes on to say, why labor you for that? You know, why labor for false bread? Why labor for that thing that does not edify? I just somehow or another can't understand how that anyone could not love Jesus. And how anyone could say, I've got to help God. My God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. My God said, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. My God said, I give life and breath to all living creatures. My sweet Lord said, I looked and there was none to help, but mine own right arm has wrought salvation. And yet, God's done all he can do. I gotta go help him. We are so incapable of that. If we wanted a job done and hired a craftsman to do it, we don't have the skill or the ability to help them. Let alone God. Who made the whole universe out of things which do not appear, which to me is nothing, hung it up on the same thing, it's still there. Going down the road the other day, the wife and I were talking about that. She asked me something about the scripture. I said, well, I don't know how big the earth is. They say that Saturn or Pluto, wherever they went, is 3.5 billion or however many miles away. I said, that's way past my understanding. My calculator don't go that far. But whatever it is, God did it. God did. I mean, think about it. A big bang. You heard some of this yesterday, that little primordial thing grew up. The big bang. The sun's 93 million miles away. What kind of bang are you talking about? They say we've got to have faith to what we believe. How much faith would you have to believe what they're saying? This big bang created a universe that is billions of miles in every direction. No. The same God that had that power is the same God that sends that still, small voice into the hearts and souls of His people, causes them to know that they've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, I want you to know that rest is sweet. I don't think there's a rest ever that sweet except the one in His sweet by and by in heaven's pure world. Oh, praise His holy name. He leads us, He guides us, He directs us, He fills us with His Spirit. Makes us cry, Abba, Father. Oh, praise His name. He says, come. Not to the world, but come, my people. And He also says, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. I want you to know you cannot gainsay, you cannot deny. The Apostle Paul is a prime example of that. He was not looking for God. He was looking to destroy all those that believed in Jesus Christ. He claimed to know God, but evidently he didn't, because the Master said, if you knew Him, you'd know me. Oh, he knew it after that. Knocked down on the road to Damascus. This mighty man that spoke 13 or 14 languages. Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee of the Pharisees, the tribe of Benjamin. They had the best credentials you could buy. And he had freedom that he was born with. The others had to buy into that. I count them but dung that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, but that righteousness which is of God. Brethren, that's where we stand today, in the righteousness of God. Everything else is but dung. The righteousness, the blood-bought righteousness of Jesus Christ is what we stand in need of. Yeah.
Sing a verse of 10.
10.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word.
I've said this many, many times. It wasn't too far back. I really hadn't planned to be old. You wake up one morning and it's there. I thank God for this, another opportunity of being up here. You know, back several years back, I was in an association because Brother Jason was in it. We had some wonderful times, but we actually corresponded with about 10 different associations. So to try to get around as a correspondent, never had very much time to spend with each one, just go in and quickly leave. And it's been such a joy to be up here, to be able to spend time here, to concentrate. And I look at the history. If there was not a person here and I just walked in, I would think about the history of Robinson River. How it would have been back in the 1790s when they would come here on dusty roads, horseback riding, or in a chariot or buggy. I know I was at Goshen Church over in Lexington, Kentucky a few years ago, and they had a brick wall out in front of the church building, and I wouldn't know what that wall was for. And Brother Jesse Lee Reed told me, he said, Brother Lyle, that's when the women rode horses They had side saddles. And it was easy for them to get off of the side saddle here. And it was built for the ladies. So, you know, I love the history of the church. The history of our people is rich and it's embedded. On my way home from up here, either here or the Catoctin one, I stopped down at Verona and I saw a book there, The Autobiography of Elder T.S. Dalton. And I said, regardless of the price, I've got to have this. So I look to see where our people have been. The fact that this doctrine, now it's never been pleasing to the world. It's never been acceptable to the world. The world hated it in the days of the Lord's Christ, and things are no different today. But how thankful that we ought to be that we can have this, the great inward working of the power of God. Just think about how great it is when God brings a little child out of the devastation and the ruination of the sin of this world and gives them life and liberty.
Yeah.
And then promise a place that flows with milk and honey. The glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many of God's little children had rather still eat the sand around Sinai in the desert than to go across Jordan where the blessings flow. Those are mysteries that I don't understand. I know over Cedar Creek one night years ago, I just made the statement, I don't have it all together. Brother Tolliver said, yeah, but you're still working on it. we're still working on it. In the Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I'd like to start with verse number 8. Thanks. Giving thanks. I know and I understand my own self more than I would anyone else. We any of us would be in that category. And I know that I don't give thanks enough. Maybe I'm in a hurry. I usually close my eyes and ask God to bless the food wherever I'm at, whenever traveling. Sometimes forget it. Say, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for forgetting that.
Amen.
You know, but we're and sometimes try to pray at night and go to sleep trying. Ever done that? We're still human. We still have this body of flesh to contend with and the warfare that is still there. But this writer said, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. What deeds? What deeds? You know, we did not witness the crossing of the Red Sea. We did not witness the fiery furnace. We did not witness those things. But at the same time, we have evidence of those that did. First-hand evidence of those things that took place in that period of time. And we have, I believe that in Hebrews it said, wherefore we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, therefore lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run our race with patience, ever looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So there's witnesses in here, and we witness one with another. How do we do that? There's a story to tell. If you try to tell this story to somebody that God has never dealt with, it's just like pouring water on a duck's back. It just runs off.
Amen.
But whenever you talk to someone, whether they be of our faith or not, you talk to one that Christ has done a work of regeneration in their hearts, and brethren and sisters in Christ, I believe in the doctrine of regeneration.
Yes.
I believe that it is essential for an individual to be born of the Spirit of God, regenerated by His Holy Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, or vice versa. I say, marvel not to say unto you, you must be born again. So, that which is born of God, that which lives in the hearts of God's children, whenever we go down in death, that is going to be taken to glory. So therefore, we're born of His Spirit. We are a new creature in the Lord's Christ. And all things have passed away. We have something that we can communicate one with another with. You can't communicate with the world. You're not unequally. To me, you're not unequally yoked to those things that are out there. But to be yoked to the glorious truth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that we can live a life of joy and peace. Make known His deeds among the people. Are we ashamed of God? We'd be ashamed of God, we'd be ashamed of us. But we've got a story that can be told. One that can be told over and over and over. Brother Barney was talking about this book, when the Old Testament ends, the New Testament begins. It's just a continuation. Just from one era to another. All of it is the words of our blessed Lord. So we give thanks to Him. I am bound always, my brother, to give thanks unto you. From the very beginning, God has chosen you unto salvation and belief in the truth. Sing unto Him the psalm, palms unto Him. Talk ye of His wondrous work. I've heard that here. I've heard brethren and sisters here talk about the wondrous work of God, not only coming from this pulpit, but as you greet one another. You greet one another in an orderly fashion, in a godly fashion. Why? Because as the song went, we love God because He first loved us. When we were unlovable, when we were down in the trench and the sledge of this world, had no hope, and without God, or without hope in this world, who was it that come to our rescue and brought us out of that pit of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son? We got something to talk about, haven't we? We got something to praise God about. And then, when we look at that, to sing those songs, I just looked this morning over here in the Ephesian letter, where Paul wrote, first of all, he said, redeeming the time. How do we redeem? How much time do we waste? How much time in our life do you suppose that we waste? You know, I've done a lot of it deliberately. If you've ever worked in a classroom, you'd love to waste some time, you know, time by time. But he goes on, and he gives us a great example. And Paul said, speak unto yourself in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You sung this morning. You sung to Him. You know, one time they wanted people that done some of the shape note singing to do a audition, I guess you would call it. They did a radio program over in Boone, North Carolina. And Sister Sharon, they contacted her, and she called me, and I said, no, I don't know shape notes that well, but we do the meter. We can do some of the old meter singing. So they asked us to come. And we had folks from Georgia that was up there with us at that time, to be exact about it, Elder George Hazen and his wife, Sister Betty, and some others. And so we went over and we sung. And they recorded this for a program they had over there. And they wanted to know, how much time have you all spent together? How much time have you practiced? And Sister Betty Hazen said, well, we're singing with people here we've never met. We had folks there from down at Little Vine Church that they had never met. So when you come together, and God enables you to sing the songs of Zion, you can't sing them in a strange land. Just hang your harps on a willow. Because you cannot sing the same songs of Zion in a strange land. But we come there and we sung together and we made melody in our heart. And I told the person that was running in charge of that, I said, we don't sing to you. We don't sing to each other. If we're singing in the Spirit, we're singing to God.
Amen.
We're praising God. We're praising Him. We're praising our Creator. And that's why we're here today, to give thanks unto Him, to praise Him for what He has done for us. Put everything you've done for Him on one scale and what He's done for you on the other, and see which way the scale goes. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. This is not a once a month thing. It is not once a week thing. We have that desire. That desire is there. When we lay down on our bed at night, do we not think about the day? Do we not think about what God has given us through that particular day? Asking His blessings upon us, upon our loved ones, upon the family, giving thanks unto Him. But the greatest of all the things that we can give unto God, the greatest thing that I can think of to give unto God is the fact that He loved us and that He saved us. That we can go back to that time when an angel spoke unto Joseph and said, fear not, Joseph, thou son of David, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And thank God, I believe He done that.
Amen.
He didn't come down here to try. He come down here, He was a Savior. We've got a Savior. Because He saved. You know, I was pulled out of New River one time and I had to drown. Some of my friends pulled me out of that thing. In a carnal sense of the word, very good, they was a Savior to me. Because they kept me from drowning in that water. And He kept me from drowning in the depth of sin by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The redemptive price that He paid. Justified by faith and faith alone. Not by faith, but the faith that God has given us. By grace are you saved, and it is through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're going to work your way to glory, you better get on the job and start trying. Because I don't think you're going to make it. But I thank God that He has already paved the way. He is on, and it's a blood trail. It is blood, the bloodstained garment of King Emmanuel, that has brought us out of darkness and give us light. In Him was life, and the life was a light of man, a light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. That is our light. That is our guide. That is our pathway. That is our journey. That is the way we travel. We travel that spiritual road by the light, by the Spirit of Almighty God. We love Him that we have not seen. Why? Because He lives within you. Christ, you know, when I think about the greatness of God, and I look at all these people that are so worried because they're not going to get God at different places. Folks, He's everywhere. He is our Creator. I look around and I love nature. I love nature. I love to see the greatness of what God has done for us here in this journey of life. That He has given us all the beauty that surrounds us. And most of all, He has given us the glorious gospel of the truth of the Son of God. And I believe a charge was given to that. When He said, I'll charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judge the quick and the dead, is appearing is the kingdom to do what? To preach the gospel, to be in season, out of season, with all long suffering and doctrine.
Yeah.
To be instant. Are we instant? In season and out of season. Giving thanks unto Him. Thanks to God. Thanks for the love that He has given us. Remember His marvelous work that He has done. His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. You know, I started mentioning this yesterday and I think got away from it. I was listening to this conversation that a couple of people had on TBS. And the question was asked these moderators, why did not God just make us for heaven to begin with. Knowing that he knows all things, knowing the trail that man would have down here, why didn't he just do that? And we would never have had to go through the suffering. I had an English teacher in college one time, and I believe American literature, and she couldn't understand. If there is a God, why is there so much suffering in this world? Did you know that God gave us everything on this planet to sustain human life that we will ever need? He's already put it there.
Yeah.
It is man. Why, God? It pleased God to do things the way that God did it. From ancient days of old, he declared in my counsel for that, and I'll do all of my pleasure in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay the hand or ask, why doest thou, Jehovah? It is God's plan. It is God's purpose. And it will be carried out to a jot and to a tittle. So therefore, we give thanks unto him, and we praise him.
Amen.
From whom all fullness flows. Who could do for you what he has done? And what more could he do for you than he has already done? I think about Israel. He gave them a land that flowed with milk and honey. Everything they needed. That no enemy could ever penetrate their borders as long as they followed the entity of God. What else could he have done for them? He promised them that land. And he took them there. And by the disobedience, the carcasses of thousands, they fell in the wilderness for unbelief. Today, if you would hear my voice, harden not your heart as it did in the days of provocation. Your fathers, they provoked me. And I swore in my wrath that they would not enter into my rest. And there is a rest. That's why that I come up here today. I look for that rest. I seek that rest. I want to have a part of that rest. I want to come to where the fountain flows. I want to come to where the blood is taught to the children of God that we were purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about DNA. If you're a child of God, you've got DNA from heaven, children of God. And that DNA someday is going to take you there when days are over and time is over and time will be no more. If all we had in this life is, our hope is in this life, we'd be of all misery, men most miserable. But our hope is not in this life. Our hope is beyond this. In hope of God. And of eternal life, of God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Oh, you see the visual. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. What covenant? I just read this morning. One that was made in Isaac shall thy seed be. Children of God, if we want to know what election is, we can go to what Peter said, and he said, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, to sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us into lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lively hope. You've got a lively hope, not a dead hope, but you've got a lively hope. And the hope that you have, the hope is secure. It is anchored beyond the veil where the forerunner has already gone. He has come here. He tasted death for every child of God. He fulfilled the promise of God. The breath of God was poured out upon him, children of God. When he looked upon him, turned his back from him, because God does not look upon sin. That's to give thanks. That's why we give thanks to him.
Amen.
We don't owe it to no one. I do not owe my salvation to the church.
No, sir.
I do not owe it to any man. No, I owe it to that precious blood.
Absolutely.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Flows from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged into that blood lose all of their guilty stains. I believe what the old writer said. He went on and said, and when this lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing that power to save.
Amen.
We have a Savior, and he come, and he done the job. And then that covenant, in Isaac shall thy seed be. Well, I won't go that way. Even of the covenant which you made with Abraham, that's the one we just spoke of, and of the oath unto Isaac. He was of the free woman, not the bond woman. We're the free woman. You know, when we think of the, all the greatness and the glory, I can look back over the years when I was just, I was probably 13, 14 year old. And I went to Old Troutdale Church. An association was going on there. I went over there to that old building. And there's so many people there that day that they had to have service in the church. And then an old schoolhouse has been torn down. Had an auditorium fixed up in it. And Brother Bill Stevens' father preached that day. And he went back to the old prophet. Before that I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth from the womb, ordained thee and sanctified thee a prophet unto the nations. And that rung in my ear. That good news. Are we not thankful for that? That I could remember that. That bears down upon me like bread cast upon water. It's going to be gathered many days hence. And we go and we rehash those things we have heard, or a conversation that you've had on the street with somebody, or somebody that you have greeted in a godly manner. We keep that in a high mind, a treasure within us. I sat out here several years ago and talked to Brother Aubrey Utz's dear wife, and she had talked about his passing away and some of the joys that they'd had. It was a treasure. It was something I can be thankful for. I can reach out and say that I met that sister, I met that brother along the way. We are surrounded with all of these witnesses of God here in this journey as well as here in this book. And it brings a joy and a peace of contentment to our mind that we know that we have a God that cares. We know we have a God that loved you when that you were unlovable children of God. We have a God. No wonder that the writer of old could set forth inasmuch as many has set forth in order a declaration of those things most surely believed among us. And we believe it. Why? Because it has been embedded in your heart and in your mind. God does the work. He does the work of regeneration. Man cannot do that. God can penetrate. He can penetrate the heart of children of God. He's the only one that can raise the dead. He's the only one that can raise a dead sinner here in this journey of life. And he's the only one that can call from dust to this cemetery someday to come home. Amen. That's a God I'd like to preach and believe in. So we give thanks unto him. Redeeming our time. Give thanks unto him for the praise that he has given unto us. I want to read that. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God gave him a name. And he gave a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord Christ to the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful that he's got a name and he's above every name? How many people today, they want to put their name above him. Whenever they crucified him and put him on the cross, you know, they put their inscriptions up there. I'm going to tell you, children of God, there is no name that's above the name of my Lord. He is the one that loved you. He is the one for the joy that was set before him. He's the one that endured the cross. He's the one that despised the shame. But yet he went willing to that cross of Calvary. And upon that cross, I believe that he made a sacrifice that forever perfected the children of God, that you are redeemed by his precious blood. You are preserved in his blood. You are called by his grace. You are sanctified by his love. Sanctification comes first. Then the preservation comes next. And then the calling. Children of God. God is a God of order. And things are set forth in order. I believe that that eventful day on Calvary, that he shed that precious blood there. He saved the children of God. And he saved them with an everlasting salvation. But it was not of interest unto you until you were born to the Spirit of God, and then that salvation come home to you, and you realize to give thanks unto him and praise unto him, and then come faith and faith in our faith and put him on the cross. We didn't have any. We had to, that is something that was given to us.
Yeah.
By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. Oh, so many times as I go along, brethren, so many times in my life, I find I'm so short. I fall so short. Just to fall down. Just to think if I could just fall down at the feet of him. And say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. We ought to love one another. As I said yesterday, a new commandment that I give unto you. That you love one another. As I have said, how much did he love you? How much did he love you? How much did he love the children of Israel? How much did he love them? They were down in Egypt. And he said, I've heard your cries and I've heard your groans, and I've come down to deliver you. And he delivered them out, went across the Red Sea, and they wandered in the wilderness there, gave them a land that flowed with milk and honey. In that dustbin there, many of them, it seems to me like, I'd rather be there than to go across Jordan's River. I tell you, children of God, there's many a little child of God out there right today that's starving to hear the word of Almighty God preached unto them. Because man, a man's doctrine does not penetrate the heart. It's an intellectual thing. It intellectually may stir up the mind up here, but it never gets down here somewhere. It never comes to the filter. But I thank God today that he can penetrate the heart. He can penetrate the mind. And he can let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. Let this mind be in you, that we can be thankful that God has loved us. That great love we're in. He loved us even when we were dead and we were in trespass and we were in sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, all the faults and failures that were about us. And I'm going to tell you, yes, God has a church and he has a bride, and that bride is for his son. And that bride was polluted in her own blood, 10,000 talents in debt, and not a father to pay with. And that bride being polluted there, that bride was adulterous. That bride went through so much here in this journey of life. But thanks be unto God, she's been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. She's been made pure, and she'll go across the threshold of glory, and there'll be no sin there. There'll be no sin, see there. There'll be no darkness there. He is the light of that city. He is that city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. He is that rock in a weary land. So thank God today we've got this, and give God praise and thanks for it.
Amen.
For he is worthy of all praise.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, precious sisters. Thank you for the food that you've given us. I thank God that you'd have this old war out hillbilly up here for a little while. If we never meet again, we have that desire that we'll meet beyond the beyond. I don't know what it'll be. Now, I can't tell you what heaven's going to be like. I don't know. But I can tell you what a heavenly place is like.
Sure.
And I believe this has been one. I said one time up here, the first time I ever used it, it's a little oasis in the desert. You know, they would trek across the desert there. And ever so often they'd come to a place where there was a palm tree. And there was some water. And there was a fresh drink. So we get a fresh drink here and there, and then we go on to the next. And to the next. Maybe here, maybe over at Happy Creek. Or wherever God's children are gathered. But then someday, it'll all be over here. And it's just beginning up there. Thanks be to God. Give him praise, because he is due of all praise, honor, and glory is due to him and to no man. And I thank God When I thank God that there's still somebody, Brother Gary, that believes it. I thank God that we can still meet with people that believes in salvation with the sovereign grace of God. I thank God that we can come to that fountain that never runs dry. I think that the well is not too deep, that Christ draws that water for us. He feeds us. We feed upon the blood, upon the body, and drink the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is symbolic, I know. But that is what we do. Come and dine. Don't we have a song like that? Yeah. Come and dine. The scripture said to come and dine. Who are we going to dine with? We come and dine with our Lord. We sit down at the feet of Jesus. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's my plea. If He's not merciful to me, a sinner, there's nobody else on this earth that can be. But I thank Him for His love and His mercy. And brethren and sisters, I thank you. And may God bless you. Come our way anytime you can. Not really as crippled as I look. I'm just staggering after help.
It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea.
Begin to express how much I have thoroughly enjoyed this associational gathering and the sweet fellowship and the good preaching and all that the Lord has allowed us to enjoy on these 3 days. This morning, the Lord blessed these brethren as they stood before us to preach about that one we love. Oh, how I love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus. And we love Him not because we made what many call a decision for Christ and chose to do that. We love Him because He saw fit to love us, even before the very foundation of the world. We were loved of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God. One God. One God made manifest in three persons. And we see the wonderfulness of that at times. We don't get the fullness of it. That's going to be a wonderful thing in heaven to understand and know. To know as we're known and to have an understanding of all that the Lord has truly done for us. Heaven's a real place.
Yes, it is.
There are His children today enjoying sweet fellowship with Him. Those of our loved ones have gone on before. And there is a little heaven here below. We sing hymns like that. And the scripture says He's lifted us, raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And I don't believe that's a place we have to die to enjoy, but I do believe there's a place we do die to enjoy, and that place is much better than here. But here is really good when the Lord blesses us to see. The scripture says, the psalmist writes, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I believe we've enjoyed a portion of that even this weekend. I realize the time, and if I could have talked to the moderator and done anything, I did everything I could to have this switched around where he was doing what I'm doing. And I would complain about that, but if I was in his position, I'd have done the same thing. So I really can't say a lot about that. I do need your prayer. I know one thing, we've heard preaching. And I give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory for that. I do pray he'll bless me for the little time I stand before you with liberty to speak that which would be pleasing to him and beneficial to you, the Lord's people. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read an account that was mentioned yesterday in Mark chapter 5 regarding the wild Gadarene. And I'll read the entirety of it. I don't intend to speak upon all of it. If the Lord would bless me, you could spend a long, long time on this particular passage. But I pray the Lord would bless us just to look at a portion of it and draw from it the things he would give us this morning. And it's wonderful when we trust in the Lord that he does that. He gives us what's needed, much better than we know, much better than we can come up with. But it says in Mark chapter 5 in this account, you'll read about this in Matthew 8 as well as Luke 8. And you'll read here in Mark 5 that he gives one of those that were involved, that was delivered. There was actually two on this occasion that were in the same condition as the one. And Matthew tells us about that. A lot of people get really upset. Sometimes I used to get a little disturbed when I'd read in the Gospels. You'd read one portion of Scripture and you'd read another portion of Scripture and you'd seem to be an apparent some type of contradiction. One thing that we need to understand as we're studying the Word of God is there are no contradictions in the book. If I come up with a contradiction, I've got it. The book doesn't have it. And what we get is a complete and a full picture of the account that we needed to know. Now, we're not told everything that's here. The one place, the Bible, it says that if all that could have been written, all that could have been written about Jesus were written, the world wouldn't contain the books. But what we have been given is that which we need, which truly furnishes us unto all good works while we're here in this world. So there are many things that occurred. The working of Jesus will never get done in heaven, hearing and knowing about all that he's done for us. Another beauty of what heaven, I believe, will be. But what we need to know is given to us in Holy Writ right here. And in this account, he speaks of one of them specifically that was delivered by Jesus. And what a mess that old boy was in. What a mess he was without the Lord. As I even read this in your hair, and I want you to think about what a mess you and I are without the Lord. And how much a mess we would still be in if the Lord had said, you've got to get it straight. You've got to correct it. You've got to make the first step. You've got to take the first action in order to get your situation resolved. I'm telling you, without the Lord, we can do absolutely nothing. It takes the Lord to give us life. It takes the Lord to quicken us. It takes the Lord to work in us. It's the Lord who works in us even in the daily deliverances in our life. He has given us that which we're to do, but we can't do anything without it. And certainly this account tells us that. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea and into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now, if someone had approached this one with some message and said, if you'll just make a decision for Christ, if you just make a choice to choose the Lord, they would be in deep trouble trying to do that. First of all, this man we read over in Matthew is exceeding fierce. And they troubled everyone that came that way. And that isn't only was he one that would be difficult to talk to. You would be in great trouble if you tried to. Because not only was it his power, he had a
supernatural power. He had a. It wasn't from a good place, but there was a legion of devils, a legion that was in him, possessed in the sense that there was absolutely no one to be able to help him. There were those who had tried to help him. They bound him with chains and fetters and tried to help him. This man was running naked in the tombs and in the mountains. He wasn't just there a little while. He was there day and night. He was running wild. He cut himself with stones and all kinds of things he was doing. And there were many who tried to help him, but to absolutely no avail. There wasn't a friend he had that could help him. He could not help himself. It wasn't he that was just doing that. He was in a captivity that he could not escape from. He could not deliver himself out of. And nobody, even though they might have wanted to, he had family, and we know he did. If he was here, he was born from somebody, and there was somebody, no doubt, who loved him and saw the condition that he was in and saw the trouble that he was in and would have done anything they could have to have helped him and tried to do that, but there was not a single one who could have helped him. Yeah. And sometimes we think, well, that boy's in a mess. And he is. Yeah. But so is this boy that stands before you, and so are you. And the doctrine that says somebody can come and preach something to them to change their life is an upside down, mixed up doctrine that is not recorded in God's Word. God's Word tells us there's a God who's sovereign. There's one who we're to believe in. There's one God. If you believe that, you do as well. James says you do well if you believe there's one God. I wouldn't want you to believe anything else today, but there's one God. There was one here who was in control of this man who also knew that, and he believed, and they believed, those devils that was in him believed. I haven't read it all, but there was a legion of devils in him, and they believed in this one God, and when that God walked up on the scene, they knew who he was. Now, men by nature can't see him, can't know him, because they are under captivity that blinds them from that knowledge. The carnal man is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And without God's helping an individual and blessing an individual, the eye will never see it, the ear will never hear it, and the heart will never understand that which God has prepared for them that love him. And I'll tell you, Jesus came on the scene here today. He wasn't afraid of that old fierce boy. He wasn't afraid of that man. He wasn't afraid of his buddy. He knew that he had the power. As a matter of fact, I believe he knew it before the very foundation of the world. And he was one for whom he came into this world for. Jesus didn't come just to have a good time here in this world. He came to live his life, a perfect life, and to die on the cross, because he loved this dear brother, and he loved his friend. And what a friend that would be. I know they were friends. I've had a lot of friends in this world. Some of them I ran with and did with things with that I'm not proud of and thankful of today. And I know if the Lord hadn't worked in me and changed and done things in me, I would have never escaped or been out of that. I need him this morning if I'm going to be what I'm supposed to be. And you need him, and we all need him. Isn't it wonderful to need someone who is so powerful and someone who's so mighty? This one had just walked on the water and calmed the sea when the disciples had been in trouble. And by his very voice, he said, "Peace be still," to the Sea of Galilee. I imagine that sea was tossing and the storm was great. But I'm telling you, he had just done that. And he walks up here on the shores, and somebody may even said, "Why are we going? Why are we going to the other side?" He said, "We're going." And they had gotten there. There was one that needed him. Aren't you glad he comes to one who needs him? Wherever you are, whatever your condition. You said, "But gee, he doesn't know what a mess I am." I imagine that wild gathering, and I don't know how much of his mind was there. I know that the scripture says his dwelling was among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. They tried it. There was a lot of people who tried it, according to the scripture. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Can I say that could be said about every man, woman, boy, and girl? That without the grace of God working in their lives, no one can tame them. Because in the beginning, Adam
when he was created, was made good and very good, but he fell. And he didn't fall into a sickness, he fell into death. And that death separated from him from God, and he fell into a captivity, if you will, that was greater than anything he could recover himself out of. And all of his posterity didn't get sick in him. We died in him, and that was a separation eternally from him. And we would never tame ourselves, never change ourselves, as impossible as it is for the Ethiopian to change the color of his skin or a leper changing his spot. Those who are accustomed to do evil turn and do good. It's impossible. Even he said in one place, with men it is impossible. Aren't you glad though it's not with God? And this one who just calmed the sea walked up on the shores of time and saw this old wild man, and it was strange that these devils who had come after every other man knew this way man was different than other men. This man was Emmanuel. This one was born the Son of God. This was verily God made manifest in the flesh. This is the one they knew. They had this much sense. They know that he's coming, and they knew he had the power that whatever he said they had to do. I'm telling you, if you and I go to battle with the devil, a lot of people say all you got to do is make a decision for Christ, that you have to just reject the devil and all his vices, that you have to put the old body under subjection by your own power and your own ability, and just make a decision for Christ. And if you'll just make that decision for Christ, then you can be his child. Let me tell you, if you desire that, I'm saying to you today from the Word of God, you don't have to make him your God. He is already your God. You don't may have to make that decision to make him your Savior. He is your Savior. And if you want him to be your Savior, I dare say he already is. And I'll tell you, that gives me a whole lot better peace than to think I've got to hold on to him in this old troubled world. I get weary, don't you? I get tired sometimes. And sometimes I'm holding on pretty good, but it isn't very long that I get hit by this problem or that problem, or hear some bad news or some trouble, and I begin to doubt. And I have to pray, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I'm thankful there's a God that I don't have to just, oh, I should hold on to him. I should draw nigh to him. I should grab as much as I can and hold on as much of it as I can. But I'm glad and thankful there's a God when old Gary lets go because he's too weak and too frail. There's a God who will never let go one of his children. And there's nothing that can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus has already bought and paid for them. And he will have everything he's ever paid for. What he did at Calvary is a complete and a finished work. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. For God doeth it that men should fear before him. If you have a desire to make a decision today for Christ, it's because he is working you both to will and to do. And yes, you should embrace him, but because he embraced you. Yeah. And somewhere in your life, he took you when you couldn't be tamed and tamed you. He led captivity, Ephesians tells us. He led captivity captive. Yeah. Have you been led captive today? Y'all a strange bunch to be here on Sunday morning when you can be somewhere else. It's awful hot to get out today. You could have stayed home. You could have watched the Olympics on TV. You could have turned the channel and gotten anything. But something happened in you somewhere in your life that caused you to want to be somewhere else. You want to sit and hear about some good news. You don't want to just tune into this world because someone's tamed you. The one who's tamed you is the only one who could have tamed you. The only one who had the power to tame you. Mama might have wanted to do it, but she didn't have the power to do it. Daddy might have wanted to do it, but he didn't have the power to do it. Your loved ones may have said, oh, I wish they could see this. And you can pray for them. You can pray for your children. You can do all those things. But I'm telling you, anyone who's able to be seeing the things of God and understand that it's Jesus that died on the cross and paid the sin debt, it's because the Lord tamed you. It's because you met the one that met, and better yet, the one met you that met the wild Gadarene. You know, I met him, but it's because he met me. I found him maybe, but it's because he first found me. Just like we sang earlier, we love him, don't we? But it's because he loved you. And when he did that, he touched me. The hymn writer said, and now I am no longer the same. Oh, I still got the old wants that get in the way and the old flesh that lusts and wars against my soul. Don't you have that in you? But without that, without him working in us, we wouldn't have that warfare.
We'd just be in the world and happy to be here. The only thing we want is to be able to live longer, stay here longer, not hurt so much, and have more fun. We just want to have all the fun, get all the toys we can get, play with all the stuff of this world. But I'll tell you, that stuff has lost its glimmer. It's lost its shine. It's because I don't see it like maybe once I've seen it. And the closer I get to Him in this side, the less this old world holds. This dear one, he says, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. What a life. You're talking about a life not redeemed. Redeeming the time, as Brother Eddie said, for the days of evil. A life lived in the mountains and in the tombs and crying and cutting himself with stones. There is no peace in this world. There isn't even any peace for the man of the world in this world. A little child of God is certainly not at home. You say, I feel like a stranger here below. I say to you, good, be thankful. I hope you feel like a stranger. I hope you feel like the world's running one way and you need to want to go another way. I hope you feel like I'm in the world seems backwards and everything that they're saying seems wrong to me. Oh, let me tell you, if you follow the way and the truth and the life, you'll be that strange sect that's everywhere spoken against. You'll be those who are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said this, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now listen, this worshiping that I believe was taking place here, I'm not sure what was going on in the man. I don't know what he was feeling himself. I know those devils in him had control of him. And I know he needed deliverance from that. And he was about to get that. And I don't know where the man was. I'll leave that where it belongs. I'll just leave that in the hands of God. But the one who worshipped him here didn't worship him for a Savior. He was those devils that was in him. And they worshipped him. Let me tell you, he said devils will worship him. Oh yes, they'll worship him. You know how they worship him though? They don't worship him as their Savior because he's not their Savior. They don't worship him as one who's delivered them because he doesn't deliver them. They worship him as the one who has more power than they have. Aren't you thankful that greater is he that is in the world? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, John told us that. And that's the absolute truth because this one had the power. And he's about to show us he's got the power of the devil. I'll tell you, the evangelist doesn't have the power of the devil. The preacher doesn't have the power of the devil. The little child of God doesn't have the power of the devil in himself. He's only in the Lord. If we resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But that verse also tells us to first draw nigh to God. And we're to submit ourselves unto him. And in the Lord we have that ability. But outside of the Lord, there would be no man who made a decision for Christ. He said this, and when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, I beg thee, by God, that thou torment me not. You see, these devils believed and trembled. I read a little article in one of our papers where Brother Ralph Harris had written an article about the devils believing and trembling. Yeah. And it meant a lot to me because he says, God's children believe and rejoice. God's children believe and accompany. The devils believe and tremble because they know there's one bigger than I am and greater than I am. And if whatever he says, I'll have to submit to that. They couldn't even go into a herd of pigs without the Lord giving them permission. They couldn't leave the man. They didn't know what was coming. They thought the end had come. Here's Jesus. And they knew the end. Listen, they know the end is coming. They know the end result. And there is a hell that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And there's a judgment where all that are not of the elect family of God would be cast eternally away from him into that hell. And if it were not for the grace of God, listen to me. If it were not for the grace of God, that wild Gadarene had earned and merited that place, and he would be deserving of it and would have hope of nothing else. And not only the wild Gadarene, but every one of us who are just like him would be in the same place. But because of a Savior,
These devils feared and trembling. This Savior was about to deliver one of his little children. He cried with a loud voice. He said this. He said, and he recognized, he called him Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. Jesus, because he shall save his people. He didn't come to save everybody. He didn't come to save the devils. He didn't come to save that those that were not his children, but his children, which are an innumerable company out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. He came to save them. And this Savior, who had the power to walk on the water and had the power to deliver his disciples and had the power to give his life and had the power to take it up again, this Savior saved every one of his children, and not one of them will ever be separated from him. Not one. Not one. And if you're worried about that today, don't trust in you, trust in him. If you want to do I love him, don't trust in your love, trust in his love. If you want to follow him, don't trust in your ability to do it. You take up your cross and trust in him who was able to deliver this wild Gadarean from the mess he was in. And oh, when we look at our mess and his mess, sometimes ours don't seem so bad. Listen, he had what this man needed, and I believe he has that which every one of his children needs. As a matter of fact, he says, according as his divine power hath already given unto us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. I think I threw in that word already. But it's still in the past, which means it's already given. What does that mean? That means whatever's coming, I've got what I need in the Lord. And outside of the Lord, I can't do a thing. This has already gone longer than I want, so I'm going to read. Try not to talk. He said, for he said unto them, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Let me tell you, he didn't say, would you please come out? When he said, let there be light, he didn't say, would you please come on light? He spoke. When he spoke this world into existence, his word, all things were made by him. And I said I wasn't going to talk. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? Again, any question the Lord ever asked in the scripture, it isn't because he doesn't know the answer. It's something we need to know about it. He knew what his name was. He said, what is thy name? And he answered in saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. He knew, these devils knew whatever he said, they would have to do it. Because he is a power above all powers. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And a man that would say, Jesus can't save you unless you let him, is denying the very power of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, he told the devils what to do. How much can he tell a puny little man what he's going to do? And that's the kind of God we have. And he says, and he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. And now there were nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He suffered them to do that. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and a herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Can you imagine if you were there watching that? You would see 2,000 swine basically committing suicide.
Yeah.
One by one, going over. I don't know whether they all went together, but what they went into the sea. Those devils say it teaches many lessons, many of which we don't have time to talk about. I want to get to this one, but it shows the power of God, the awesomeness of him. It also serves as a witness and a testimony to him. Don't you know that all the people that were involved in those 2,000 swine and all their activities, and by the way, if they were Jews, they didn't have any business having swine.
That's right.
So they were still under the law. Jesus didn't come and just do away with the law. He fulfilled it. And he fulfilled it every jot and tittle. He dotted every I and crossed every T. And there's a whole lot in that. But do you know that anybody who saw that would say, you know what I saw today? I saw 2,000 hogs go jump right in the Sea of Galilee and drown. You think that gets your attention? It'd probably make the front page of a newspaper, don't you think? And here, as that went, all these devils left that man. Can you imagine what that man felt? Oh, I think you can. Can you imagine what it is when the Lord delivers you? When he opens your eyes so that you might see him? When he unstops your ears so that you might feel his presence? When he moves in your heart, so he lets you know, I'm God and I'm real and I'm there and I'm with you. I don't know how much where this man was as far as regeneration was concerned, but I'm telling you on this day, I know he was at some point regenerated. I know he belonged to the Lord. And at this point, that man was different than he ever was after this. Because one who had come to him that he could not go to, one had met his needs that he could not help meet his needs, one had come where he was and met what he needed at that time. And all, I'm supposed to be reading. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Jesus gave them leave. Verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. Don't you think the news went far and wide? You better believe it. And he says, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Get this. He was possessed with the devil. He's not any longer. You know why? Because Jesus had delivered him. And if you're delivered today, Jesus delivered you. If you love him today, Jesus gave you the love to love him with. If you believe in him today, Jesus gave you the faith that enables you to believe in him. If you're able to walk today in a way to please him, he will give you the ability and the strength. If you're able to put on the whole armor of God, he's the one who gives you the helmet, the hope of salvation. He's the one who's given you the truth to go in the girt your loins with. If you have the gospel and an understanding of it, he's the one who's given it to you. He's the one who's given you the sword of the Spirit and the ability to pray. He's the one who supplied every good and perfect thing, just like he did for this wild Gadarene. And they that fed the swine fled, told it. Verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Get the picture? This man before was in a place nobody could help him. You imagine what a situation it was. They knew who he was, and he had the legion. He was sitting, and over in Luke's gospel it says this, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, it's one thing to sit, but it's another thing to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's what Mary was, wasn't it? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that where you want to be found? Listen, there's a lot of places to go and do, but this is the best place we can be, to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. And he was clothed. This man who they couldn't get clothes on is wearing clothes. He clothes us, doesn't he? You didn't have any righteousness. I didn't have any righteousness. But we have righteousness to wear. What is that? That is the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to put on that breastplate of righteousness. He was clothed and he was in his right mind. And you know, a lot of people would think we're crazy. But I don't believe we're crazy. I was listening to Brother Eddie and I thought, boy, that brother really believes what he's preaching. I can hear it. I can tell he believes what he's preaching. A lot of people would look at me and I think, that old boy's crazy. He's talking about dying and going to heaven. He's talking about somebody going to the grave and coming forth from the grave. He's talking about somebody who gave his life, but then he descended, but he ascended. And one day, our bodies that go to the ground, this old body that goes back to the dust of the earth, could ever be gathered back together and be in a glorified place and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody hearing that doesn't know the Lord are going to think you're crazy. You know, when Brother Jonathan was preaching yesterday about Aaron and her holding up the hand of Moses, you know there had to be a lot of people thinking Moses was quite crazy. Why is he up there on that hill holding his hands up? The only amazing thing is when Moses' hands came down, the battle started to go the other way. And when Aaron and her, somebody said, what does it help to have Aaron and her? The scientists would say, what is that going to do? Having somebody's hands up in the air. I'm telling you, the reason he ought to have his hands in the air, because he was praising God, and that's what God said he ought to do. The reason you and I ought to be here today with our praise offering unto him is because it's what God's called us to do. And this dear brother was doing the best thing he could do and being clothed and sitting in his right mind. And he says, but everybody around them seeing them didn't understand. They were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. You'd think you'd want somebody like that around you all the time. But the world, you know, we think sometimes, why wouldn't everybody want Jesus? I'll tell you, those that this dear brother wanted to stay near to him, but those who didn't understand him and didn't know him didn't want anything to do with it. And he said this, And when they saw that, and it goes on in verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. Verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Do you relate to that? As I was coming to the stand, I said, Lord, please be with me. As I'm sitting there on this meeting, I prayed that the Lord would bless the preaching because I need it. I needed encouragement. I needed to hear. I needed the brethren to be preaching in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And I prayed, Lord, be with us. Oh, if he manifests himself at a meeting, if you can feel him, you don't worry about who preached. You don't worry about how long they preach. You don't worry about any of those kinds of things. You just feel his manifest presence and all. Isn't it well with your soul when you can feel him? And when you can't feel him all, nothing's well. No matter how good everything else might seem to be going. And howbeit Jesus suffered him. But he saith unto him, suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. And this is my, I finally got to my text. Go home to thy friends. And I've always thought about this. If a man had lived his life in the cemetery and in the mountains, and everybody had tried to help him, but nobody could, and he just wasted his life because he was possessed with devils. He was under captivity. He led captivity captive. He was changed by Almighty God. And that though he was captive, and we're captive. We're captive to sin. We're captive to the devil. We're captive to the lust of the flesh. And we would never change ourselves. But he takes us out of that captivity and he brings us into another captivity. And that captivity is, I call it, the grace of God and the mercy of Almighty God. And we belong to him. And nothing can separate. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He led captivity captive. He said, go home to thy friends. What kind of friends would this man have? Go to thy friends. What friends? You ever, when it happens to a little child of God in this world, he said, this world no longer my home. My friends are my friends. My buddies are my buddies. I'm different. Something's happened. I'm telling you, there's a place that is your friends. And I believe it to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the house of God. I believe in this day and time it's the Primitive Baptist Church. And I thank God that we have a place where we come in. And what Brother Eddie, the world might have thought he was crazy, but I didn't think he was crazy. I believe what he was preaching. I was thankful to be able to hear it being preached. It touched a place in my heart. I felt a kinship to him and a love for him. And I feel a kinship and a love for you as we share these wonderful things. You are my friends. One hymn writer says, the friends that most cheer me on life's rugged way are the friends of my master, the children of God. And I thank God we have such as that. He said, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I remember a long time ago, a brother charged an old preacher with preaching so long. He said, well, I got a lot to tell. I got a lot to talk about. He said, well, other churches don't preach so long. Well, they don't have as much to tell. If you're going to talk about what men have done for God, it doesn't take but about 10 minutes. You just move right on. But if you're going to talk about what God has done for us, and how great he's been to us. I said, do you have something to share? Do you have something to say? I believe you do. And as much as you can, you share that with others. This brother shared it. It changed the whole community. Those who wanted Jesus to leave were glad to see him when he came back. And the gospel have an effect? I believe it does. I know it's had an effect on my life. It's good news from a far country. It's cold water to a thirsty soul. Thanks be to God, he's allowed us to have it. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. You have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.
Amen. Love you, my brother.
Thank God for all the blessings that he has given to us this weekend. And the only problem is that it has been, but it has been just wonderful. Thank God for all the blessings that he's blessed us with, all 3 days, all the fellowship that he's blessed us with. Let's come to an invitation of him. will publish the church doors open for the reception of members. Anything that needs to be brought up before the church as we say number 50, come forward and let it be known. And for all those that's convenient, if you would, while we sing number 50, sing.
Blessed assurance.